Go.
I was.
Well, you're not supposed to say go.
You shouldn't. we're trying something different this for this episode, which will actually be released in conjunction with our regularly scheduled episode. So I don't want to dilly dally too much. So
should we just do it?
Dilly dilly.
Dilly. No.
I regret.
Asshole.
I regret recording an episode this week.
Should have skipped.
We are on the road to WrestleMania. This is the Bad Slant Podcast, recording at an unusual time for our taste, but still we soldier on. Boys, welcome back. We're as mentioned in the preamble to the show, we're going all in. So by the time you hear this, I assume it'll be Friday, hopefully before Sunday. but it's a big week for your boy Asian John. It is WrestleMania weekend. So we've been on the road to WrestleMania for seemingly like 3 years. it's never ending. But as much as I've tried to separate myself from pro wrestling over the last few years in my adulthood, like Michael Corleone in The Godfather 3, every time I think I'm out, they keep pulling me back in.
Ice doesn't know that reference.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we had a long conversation about all the movies that Ice hasn't seen. The Godfather films, chief among them. But
we can save that for another episode.
That's going to be a whole goddamn episode. Let me just declare that right here, right now. In any case, this is the Bad Slant Podcast, WrestleMania edition. I'm sorry, WrestleMania 35 edition.
35.
Yeah, it's been going for that many damn years. I'm only 36. I feel like I've seen all of them. But in any case, we're glad if you're listening to this. Thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to this horrible, horrible endeavor. I feel like we purge listeners every time I talk wrestling, but I'm hoping we can try to make it modestly interesting, or maybe draw some eyes to the product. I don't know.
Maybe we can, because I mean, luckily, if we had our boy Gio here yes. with us, I think you guys would go nerd into this stuff, right?
It would probably be less palatable than what's going to happen on
but
this
luckily,
episode.
Yeah. Luckily, you have Jacket on.
Shout out to Gio. Yeah.
I would say we're more of your casual wrestling viewers.
Yo,
so.
Stop saying that. That's
maybe that's a little bit too much for you. Me,
that's too strong of a word. Yeah. Casual. Way too strong.
I'm here to humor John. That's what I'm
here. he's here to poke fun, I'm pretty sure.
No.
But
we'll see how the show goes.
Did you grow up watching wrestling, though?
I did.
Okay. Well,
yeah, not John, willingly.
No, John and I, we watched it growing up.
Like the Saturday, all those main events.
Oh,
and
yeah,
of course. The afternoon wrestling.
Definitely, you know.
Okay, like Saturday at noon watching Superstars.
Yeah.
Superstars, exactly. Oh, yeah, the infamous Jake the Snake.
The Macho Man incident.
The Macho Man
incident.
That
big censored.
The big
big red X.
I was like, what's happening?
Watch that live.
Live. We were like,
recorded live. Yes, but yeah, we watched
Hold
it.
Up, so that was fake, right?
Have you seen the actual footage?
Do we need to break
like,
this down?
It's an actual cobra. My guess is it's been defanged.
Yeah, Here goes my WrestleMania breakdown.
But that was a real bite, though.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He was bitten.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that clip,
please go watch it.
Yeah,
please
go to YouTube, Google Jake the Snake and Macho Man Randy Savage. It will make your day.
It really will.
Like it
scarred me for life as a kid. I think I developed my fear of snakes. I really
Yeah.
That thing freaking like remember he was tied
it was
up
traumatizing.
In the ropes.
Yes.
He was tied up in the ropes and the snake just like
And then, you know, Jake, and he's like, and then the X came up, and we're like, oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Big red X. Like, in an era where they could not pixelate or properly censor something, they just put a big red X on the screen.
That was awesome.
It was great fodder.
So you watched back then.
Correct.
I know John watched back then, but you stopped. At some point, right?
At some point, yeah.
I beat him into submission.
But we should at least you know, spotlight some of the things we need to get through. But
Jack wants to get to the business before we get through the business of shows. Yes. So you can find us on badslant.com, badslant on at badslant on Instagram and Twitter. We'll try to post more things there. I said there would be good things coming there, but yeah,
we're working on it.
We'll try harder. And if you're listening to this, I presume it's either through the website or through a myriad of podcast mediums, specifically Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher. Wherever you do choose to listen to the show, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review.
Please.
Yes.
That's very important. Leave a review. A 5-star review? Yes. That would be great.
If you can send us letters to say that you left us a 5-star review, that'd be even better.
It helps with some kind of algorithm. I'm told there's always an algorithm.
Always.
We'll find it.
Yes.
And some of you have. So I appreciate the support.
We thank you, Slantia. And as always, help us out on our links to Amazon.com and Target.com on our website, badslant.com/support. We got a spotlight item this week. Someone actually purchased this item for a loved one, which would be you know, nice amongst the hosts. You know, I'd like a gift every now and then, but it's fine. what is our spotlight item of the week, Mr. Ice?
So it is the 6th-gen iPad. So
that's a current generation one, right?
No, it's not. So the current generation is the iPad Pro. Okay. So they have a couple different
layers to this.
Yeah, there's layers of the iPad Pro, but right before they switched from the iPad to the iPad Pro, the iPad was the latest edition. So 6th-gen, I think, was 2018.
That's a good year.
So I mean it was, I think, in 2018, they had the iPad and the iPad Pro in the same year. So this is the iPad model of 2018. So we're about a year back.
Yep.
But
that's not too far.
This is still a great, great, great deal.
And it has the Touch ID.
It has the Touch ID fingerprint sensor, and it's 128 gigs. You're not going to find that anywhere. If you look for a starting model at around the 300 range, you're going to get like around 32 or something, maybe around there. So to get a 128 gig 6th-gen iPad for, what was it, 330-ish?
Yeah. 329. Right?
329. Yeah.
That's a steal. So we we pulled the trigger, got that for the father-in-law, and he's
boom bam.
Yep.
Dad-in-law.
I'm not sure how long that deal is for. There wasn't any time frame for that. So if anyone's in the market for a new iPad and is cool with the Touch ID stuff, get it now.
Touch ID is the gold freaking standard. Okay. I don't care about your face. I care about these thumbs. I'm all thumbs today. So I think for anyone who's just looking for basic functionality.
I wouldn't even say it's basic because it's still like Retina display, the processor.
Yeah, it's got
still,
all the bells and whistles.
It's great. It's just, it just doesn't have the new iPad Pros have face, the face camera, face ID.
Enough of your face.
Yeah. So if you don't really care about getting that face ID, dude, because this one still supports that Apple Pencil and all that stuff, so you can still draw with the stuff. So I think it's a legitimate like iPad. It still competes with the current models.
It's still an iPad.
The gold standard.
And for 128 gigs, that's like the sweet spot of how much storage you want on your tablet.
Eat shit, Galaxy Tab. Yeah. All right, good to know. Awesome.
Yes,
glad to see your father-in-law is enjoying the fruits of technology.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully he'll be watching the many events that occur this weekend. WrestleMania weekend. I can't stress enough how much it is a full-blown weekend that it has evolved into. Like, we talk about how many years I've watched professional wrestling. I probably only really watch WrestleMania, like probably in my adulthood, but it's grown from like one night, like the Sunday night where WrestleMania takes place, and now it's a full blown weekend where it's a time investment that starts on the Friday before WrestleMania and then lasts all the way through Sunday.
Friday is the. Is that the Hall of Fame stuff?
It's changed, but we'll get to that. Okay. So it starts Friday. And you would think it ends on Sunday. No. It goes into Monday, at the very least.
Raw, right?
Into the Raw after Mania, which has now become its own thing. And currently, there is SmackDown that is not recorded. It is live on Tuesday nights. So
it goes to Tuesday now?
So pull the curtain back a little bit. So Ice and I went to WrestleMania 30, like, which I thought was
for me, it was amazing.
Oh, nice.
And I had to cajole him. I knew you would like take an interest in it, but like
I think the main reason why I was interested is because
it was in New Orleans.
Yeah. And I think there was like we're gonna see Warrior. So I was like, shoot. I've always wanted to see Warrior in my lifetime, and nice. It was in New Orleans. It's a win-win, so I'm in.
I had to do like maybe 2 or 3 months of prep work to get Ice ready for WrestleMania. So we watched like the Royal Rumble in January, like Fastlane in February. Yeah. Like we
I
did
don't know
every-
what that is.
Exactly. Like we did we did some extensive prep work to get us to April 1, which is like the first week of April is when WrestleMania usually takes place. So so he's indoctrinated. I don't know where we're going with this, but I'm saying like so the schedule for that was. Friday through Monday. We went for the Friday events.
Yep.
And we stayed until Monday to watch the Raw after WrestleMania.
Yes.
Now they've tacked on an additional night.
Damn,
which
one more day.
Yeah. So imagine 5 days of your life just thrown away watching wrestling.
It's not thrown away. You guys enjoyed it.
I mean, for the fellas, it's fine. But significant others that's joining, I don't think they're gonna.
I have to. I think the wife, my wife, who they tried to kill, she conveniently took ill that weekend that we went to WrestleMania in New Orleans. We were getting ready to hop the bird, and then the night before, she was like, I can't do this. It's laryngitis. I can't do this.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. We had to, when we were floating around town, we took a printed picture of her face with us.
Yes. And what was to have been a foursome ended up being a threesome with our local friends in the New Orleans area. So all that is to say, like, you're right. It's a blessing that the wife did not partake in in those festivities. Your wife did show up.
She did.
At WrestleMania.
I wasn't expecting that.
Mid-card. Like, okay, so 4 hours had gone by. Then all of a sudden, Isis shows up.
You could just do that?
Before the main event. Like, she tagged. Like, there was a tag team. Somebody walked out, and she walked right in. Like, it could not have been timed better. It is a full-blown weekend, and even for the most diehard of diehard wrestling fans, it's a lot. So what the schedule that I saw when we went in 2013?
12? If it was 5 years ago, right? Maybe 20... We can't do math.
2014. I was married at the time. 2014. Jeez. Jesus. I gotta stop drinking.
We're Asian, by the way.
Yeah. 2014. The schedule was Hall of Fame ceremony, NXT, and then WrestleMania. Yeah. It's now switched to NXT on Friday, Hall of Fame, WrestleMania, then Raw and SmackDown.
I would agree with that. I think that's actually
a good
switch.
That's the best move. Because I'll explain why in greater detail. But in your eyes, why do you think that's better?
I feel like just because like it's like the perfect transition into the big event. It's like you get the NXT is like the warm up, and then you get the legends that are getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, which eventually they make an appearance at WrestleMania anyway. It's like there's like the whole like thing where everyone honors them and stands up and
if
all
you
that
didn't
stuff.
Have the patience to watch this 7-hour Hall of Fame ceremony, yes. Here's the same thing in 8 seconds,
which most people will appreciate. So
God, do we appreciate that.
So I feel like that's like the natural thing, because like building off of that the whole show and the
like it gives it room to breathe.
Then it goes right into the main event, and then it's a nice cap to that night. So.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. I will expound a little bit in that the NXT product is so good that you don't want it to upstage WrestleMania, and it's happened so often in the last couple of years that it's too close. Like they run so close together, and it's hard to kind of forget how awesome of a show that NXT is. Because I'll be completely honest, NXT is something that happens exclusively on the WWE Network, which you can subscribe to for $9.99 per month, which I've done since its inception. Never got a discount. Totally fine. But if you if you don't even watch a single episode of the NXT show, you can watch their big two-hour events and still walk away happy. Like I've to this day, I can't think of a single NXT. Their event is called NXT Takeover. I can't think of a takeover event where I've walked away unhappy. And it, for a WWE product, which kind of like ebbs and flows with people's interests, I don't know why Jack and Ice are doing the club guys like on SNL right now together. I don't understand, but it's happening. But be that as it may,
come on, 8-bit music.
Come on, yeah. Wise. NXT never it fails to disappoint every time.
Is it so? Is that's the NXT? If this is a lame, I'm totally just guessing. That's the,
no, I welcome
that's
the layperson's perspective.
The junior league of the
It's essentially a feeder system for WWE.
Awesome.
So what happens? God, I don't want to do this. So wrestling back in the day, they would have like local regional companies, and like WWE would come in after these guys would make themselves big on the regional level and snap them up and make them national stars.
Right.
They've basically taken that and put it in their own farm
system.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the minor leagues.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Right. And they train them up all in their own shop in Florida, and now it's gotten so successful and so big that they've set up a UK operation.
Oh wow!
And I think they're planning India and possibly Japan to set up a similar system.
I thought you were gonna say Pakistan.
Pakistan,
especially since India was there. But okay, that's cool. Yeah. Didn't that Japanese wrestler come up through NXT before? Because he was really popular.
Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yes. Didn't he go through NXT first?
He did. He was a veteran of the New Japan Pro Wrestling circuit.
Yeah.
Former MMA fighter, Shinsuke Nakamura. And then he got snapped up by WWE.
So it's just like the G League, right?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, like,
they have their own event.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, like, the guys they put into NXT are guys who are actually established elsewhere for the most part. Like, they'll have guys who are green, and like they'll develop them completely whole through WWE, and then they have guys that they've take up from other companies and then put them into their system and then throw them into WWE. So it's kind of a both and situation. But yeah, NXT has just been such a great product that I don't think they really thought through the whole scheduling thing and how it could upstage WrestleMania. And they were smart enough this year to kind of build that bridge and give it room to breathe. Not to mention, the Hall of Fame thing has been a goddamn abomination. who in God's name wants to watch, like, the NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Canton and listen to every single one of those speeches?
It depends who is going to be part of that lineup, but, I mean...
Okay, you brought up the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
I love the Ultimate Warrior. God rest his soul.
Yeah.
Jack knows I've been a Warrior fan over Hogan, over everybody.
Hogan!
Since I was a wee one. And that man's ceremony was so insufferable the year that we went to WrestleMania in New Orleans. I had to tell my buddy to turn the television off. We didn't even go to the damn thing. We watched it on television. And like 10 minutes in, I knew this is going to be a shit show.
Isn't that always the case with Warrior, though?
Well, it's not just him, though. Everybody who gets on that stage feels compelled to talk about their entire career from inception to close. Like, and there's no breaks. There's nobody playing them off stage. Imagine the Oscars with nobody telling them to get the fuck off stage.
Well, how long is the Hall of Fame ceremony?
Imagine they have...
As long as they won, right?
Look,
damn.
So it starts at 7. I think we the night that it aired, we got back after midnight. It was still going.
Damn.
Yeah, just guys talking. Yeah. There's nothing happening.
Well, isn't it like their red carpet event?
But I mean...
It's like,
if you can put the Golden Globes and the Oscars to shame with the length of your show, you're doing something wrong. Because at least those shows have commercials. These guys just go. It's painful to watch. And they finally said, I think they're taking efforts this year to actually curtail the length of the show.
Good.
Even though it's on their own damn network. But
but it's a smart thing to do. I think let's rein it in a little bit. I know this is your moment, but let's, you know, like, I think it's a good thing what they're doing.
Because it's not just speeches. They feel compelled to do shtick.
Oh yeah.
Shtick. Like Kurt Angle did his last year, and then he drowned. Like his big bit was like doing the Stone Cold Steve Austin thing with the beers, except instead of beers, it's milk.
No. Oh.
He did that on stage.
Horrible.
During his Hall of Fame speech.
Okay.
Well, let's get into these matches. Yeah.
What, NXT or no?
No. Come on, man.
Come
the card.
On,
the main
come on,
card.
Guys. The main we,
okay,
card.
So that's the weekend leading into WrestleMania. So the actual WrestleMania, I complained a
We're
bit there.
We're at 35, man. WrestleMania 35. Like, you know, for any other wrestling event, like I mean, there's big events. There's like, you know, when you hear it, it's like the Survivor Series, the Royal Rumble.
There's like a big four.
Yeah, you know, there's like the big events, but WrestleMania is the biggest in wrestling, right?
You Correct. Could say it's the granddaddy of them all.
Oh my god.
It is the showcase of the immortals.
Right?
It is the pinnacle
one.
Of professional wrestling. And I've dabbled in other companies and in their big events. They don't match the scale and the spectacle of WrestleMania. So,
so if there's one to watch in wrestling, this is the one, right?
So yes, absolutely. If you're someone who's just kind of on the even modestly interested in wrestling, you can watch the biggest event in professional wrestling this weekend for free.
Huh?
Because I'm assuming if you're just listening to this and not really a fan of wrestling, you're not subscribed to the WWE Network.
Right.
You can sign up tomorrow on Friday
and then
get WrestleMania for free.
Cancel?
Something. Yeah, exactly. Cancel. Something
cancel immediately.
Something that used to cost $60 in our youth is now free. And
pay per view.
It's a deal and a half. Because no matter how long the damn show is, you're going to get like plenty of opportunities for entertainment. And trust me, they're trying to get as much into this goddamn thing as you can imagine.
Good God, man. Dude, they got like 16 matches on this card, right?
So the pre-show...
How long is...
Oh, and there's a pre-show.
What? The pre-show will begin to air on the USA Network, if you have cable, at 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
on Sunday.
Yeah. So 2 hours before the main event. Oh, not even the main event.
Two hours before the main card shows. Yeah.
Is it a 5-hour event?
I think it's longer than that.
Well, if you count the pre-show, we're pushing 7. But the main card in and of itself, which starts at 7, will probably be a 5-hour event.
Good.
Alone?
The main card, yes.
Oh, it ends at midnight?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
No dice.
Great.
Maybe
no
four.
Dice.
Four and a half if we're lucky, okay?
Jack's not doing the hard sell of this.
Yeah. I mean, I will watch.
The network will suffer.
Yeah, I guess.
But to the wrestling marks out there, this is going to be awesome.
I don't know about that either.
Is it?
No?
I don't know about that either.
No?
Because, okay, here's what happens. Once you get to a certain point in a wrestling show, you've hit full-blown fatigue. Like, unless they've done such a great job of keeping, like, the energy level, like, ebbing and flowing, and there's no guarantee that happens. Like, if it's just an average type of show, you're gonna get worn out, and then by the time you get to hour 3 or 4, you're gonna be coming out of your seats and just, you're shitting on everything. And it's happened, I've seen it happen, where fans in the stadium get so fatigued, they just start booing everything. They just start shitting on anything. It could be the best match you've ever seen in your life, but for the sheer fact that they're tired, they're going to start making it about themselves.
Yeah.
And wrestling fans are kind of built that way, where they want to be the center of attention, and WWE has kind of enabled that, where they want the fans to be the center of attention, because I think they caught more flack for not letting the fans exercise their opinions and be involved in the product. So be that as it may.
I don't know. I agree. But it's like, I don't know. When you think of any wrestling, of like these pay-per-views, these major events in history.
Major.
Like there's all the big moments that happens at WrestleMania. So
yes.
If there's one thing that I watch every year, well, there's always like two that I really enjoy watching: Royal Rumble, and I really enjoy watching WrestleMania. So those are my two go-tos.
The Royal Rumble might be the perfect event.
Yeah,
it's great.
Because they're pushing like 3-4 hours.
Yeah,
but there's like a specific end and it wraps things up in a nice little bow.
Yeah.
Whereas WrestleMania is. It's supposed to be kind of like your season finale, but like
Well, not really, because there's two shows afterward to kind of still talk about the WrestleMania.
There's Fallout shows. Like you're waiting for a swerve.
But when you think about WrestleMania, you think about like all these like these major moments historical. In wrestling history. You're like, you got like, what's it? WrestleMania 1 was the one with Hulk Hogan and
Andre.
Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant.
That's three.
Wow,
nailed it.
Look at this Woo! Guy.
Jack greater than
Hulk Hogan body slams Andre the Giant. Yes. That's one of the biggest moments in WrestleMania history. Yeah. They got like the ones that like for me in my era was like the Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior.
WrestleMania 6.
Yeah. And then I think even Warrior, when he like disappeared and he made a return, he came back for one of the WrestleManias.
Was that 8?
I think it was 8.
When he went up against Triple H, right?
No. Are you talking about when? No,
that one that was
you're
like
thinking Sting.
No, it wasn't Sting.
Jesus Christ,
is he in the Hall of Fame?
No, I thought there was a year where WrestleMania, where Ultimate Warrior came back, wrestled someone for like it was like a 30-second match and it was over, and I could have swore it was Triple H.
It, you know what? In hindsight, it might have been Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Oh. Yeah.
Still Triple H, yeah. But like he but that's when he went as Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the reason why that left a mark on me was because I remember paying money.
You paid good money for that.
To watch Ultimate Warrior nonsense. Make his return, and that shit was a 30-second match. He came in.
They call that a squash match.
Oh man, I was so pissed off.
You were upset that the Ultimate Warrior won in 30 seconds?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Because that was the only reason why I purchased the pay-per-view.
You do realize like the greatest moment in like the Ultimate Warrior's career was when he beat the Honky Tonk Man in 30 seconds at SummerSlam.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I know.
Lord. Anyway.
But there's so many big moments. Like there's a lot of like moments with like Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Yokozuna, Bret Hart. I mean, there's so many.
There's a lot. I think.
So I feel like I'm really excited because
there's a potential.
That's what the WrestleMania is made for. It's made for like these major moments that people will remember for years. So I mean, like even lately, I think there was a year where you and I got together. I think Liam came out, our beer expert, and we were watching one of the WrestleManias. And that's where we saw like the NWO made an appearance and like
that was the Triple H Sting match.
Yeah. That's like we watched that one together. It was
fun, but my God, it like just to see like three sexagenarians walk the longest mile you've ever seen.
It was really long,
and they walked. They didn't run because they couldn't. But I mean, like wrestling is built on that, where they want to honor their past and the legends, and they don't want to shortchange anybody. They want big moments.
It's rich in history, especially with this event.
Yeah.
So I think this WrestleMania has the potential for a lot of big moments. I don't know if they'll all pay off in the end, but I think the potential is there. Just get. I won't even bore you guys with the build up to a lot of these matches. So again. Potentially a 7-hour event and 16 matches that have been confirmed so far, which is ungodly. Like, I can't imagine having to slog through this thing, but you know I will. Yeah. We'll start at the. Do you guys want to go right into the main event, or you want to some of the? Okay.
Well, could we work? I'm assuming
bottom up.
So we have a list of some of the cards for. Well, I guess this is all of them, right?
Yeah, I don't think Jack's looking at the updated list that I put out there, but.
But if this is the list, so I'd say let's work our way from bottom.
Can I give you the? We'll start. I'll try to give you guys the match order in terms of importance. I don't want to go all the way through 16.
No, I don't. I want to skip around.
Okay. I do want to highlight there are two battle royales.
Yeah, there's a men's and a women's.
Yep.
Yeah. So you want to do like five, like top five?
Top five.
Okay. Here we go.
Let's do this. You pick the top five, and that's what we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll skip everything else.
Okay. I'll go from 5 to 1. All right.
The proper way.
There we go. Number 5, Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin.
So my first question about that, who the fuck is Baron Corbin?
Exactly. Why would you know?
Like, before we let you go off on a rant here.
It's going to be a while.
Like, so what I
almost
hear
30 minutes.
Is Kurt Angle, this is his career match. This is the farewell match. Why would he go make his last match in the WWE with Baron Corbin.
There's controversy about this. So Baron Corbin is a guy. I actually think he's got some value.
Is
in
he
that
a rising star? Are they trying to put him over?
Okay, so they're trying to get the wow. Jack again on the vernacular. He knew that WrestleMania 8 was when the Warrior came back. See? He's just all over it.
I know these things.
So Baron Corbin is a guy who
he
came
knows
up,
just enough.
Yep. Just the bare minimum. He's a guy who came up through their NXT system, but mm-hmm. he's actually a former Golden Gloves boxing champion.
Oh, really?
And he played in the NFL as an offensive lineman. Evidently, it didn't last very long his career, but he got through the NXT system and he ended up in WWE on the main roster. So he's pretty much been a bad guy the entire time.
Okay.
So they built him up as a heel. Mm-hmm. So after Kurt Angle became the Raw general manager, who knew? so this is after he got inducted into the Hall of Fame. So they made him a character on the show, and then Baron Corbin was kind of his foil, the guy who kind of like usurped him and kind of took away his power. So they've had this long gestating rivalry for like
the last...
So they've
been building this up slightly.
Yeah, to an extent. So they've had this long backstory, now Corbin's kind of fallen by the wayside. He's still a bad guy. People hate him, which is good for a heel.
Yeah.
But he's not a major player. So it really rubbed people the wrong way that they're going to have Kurt Angle's retirement match from WWE and put it against this guy. So there's a lot
Very
of controversy.
Weird,
and the funny thing is he's basically been reenacting all of his greatest matches against his greatest opponents for like the last month. And... they're all against really good wrestlers, except they decide to put him in his retirement match against the worst wrestler of the bunch. It's so bizarre, but it's number five just in the fact that it's Kurt Angle's final match.
Yeah. So is he technically not for like a good? Does he not put up a good show? Technically,
he's got to go, man.
Oh, wow.
He's like, and it's not taking anything away from his history because he's had a fantastic career.
Okay,
it spanned like two companies.
Oh, wow.
And he's been. At certain points, the gold standard in wrestling. At a certain point, he was the greatest wrestler on the planet, and
Kurt
to kind of
Eagle?
Yes,
really,
absolutely, like the best performer on the planet.
Oh,
and to
wow.
see where he is, to see where he is now, because his body's so
his
broken
body
down,
has failed him.
It's rough to watch.
Isn't
painful?
Doesn't he not have like strength in his arms? I heard that
his arms look pretty scrawny.
Yeah, they're small. He can't really work out on his
like,
arms.
Like you remember those Olympic slams, German suplexes? They had like all the amplitude and like the height. They're nowhere.
Not no more.
He's in danger of having somebody fall on his face every time
Jesus.
He does that.
Doesn't he have fused vertebrae or something?
He does.
Shit?
Yes. It's rough, but it's a big match just given the fact of. Where he's been in his career and the fact that he's able to retire in WWE. So that in and of itself merits being in the top five for WrestleMania matches. All right, so
what's number four?
Number four. It's the returning Roman Reigns versus
Drew
McIntyre.
Okay.
Again, this is another match that doesn't really have any stakes besides the fact that these guys don't like each other, but the Roman Reigns story kind of
the fact that
hangs large.
I don't think we ever covered that since he's been
We talked about the
returned,
leukemia.
Right?
Yeah, we talked
he's
about
been
it.
Back.
Well,
how long has he been back?
We talked about the leukemia, but we never talked about when he came back.
It might have been like a month ago, but it was kind of a surprise thing where they said, hey, Roman Reigns has an announcement, and... He did a full segment to lead off a Monday Night Raw, and his boys came out to congratulate him, and it was a good feel good moment where he came out and said he's in remission. So
what stable is he in again?
The Shield.
Okay.
Shield
again. Three guys or guys who came up through the NXT system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So these are homegrown talents that they took three guys from their in house minor league system and made them the biggest stars of the company. So that in and of itself is a big deal that they have these guys on the forefront.
There you go.
There we go.
I got you.
Appreciate it, bro. Although I should say that's the Shield theme, not the Roman Reigns theme.
Yeah.
So, but Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns, they don't like each other?
Drew McIntyre, another heel, he's kind of carved out a nice little niche for himself. So he's a guy who's got a lot of story with WWE. Like his story is actually pretty damn cool in and of itself because he was anointed as like the chosen one like years ago, like I'd say like the early aughts,
mm-hmm.
or maybe wow. like 2008, damn. Something like that. Yeah. So like he had the look, like he was allegedly Vince's chosen guy, mm-hmm. Vince McMahon's chosen guy. And then he got as high as being like the Intercontinental Champion, which is kind of like their B level title.
Oh, and, the best.
And but that's as high as he got. Aww. And then he just kind of languished for about 5 years after that. And then they just let him go.
They let him go.
They said peace out. Like you got nothing for us, so get out of here. Then he actually found his way like along the independent circuit, and he built himself up to be like a big deal. And then he literally built himself up. He's a brick shithouse. So he went from being like this doughy 7-foot Scotsman into this like carved out of rock, just monster. Like they really? Call him the Scottish psychopath now because he looks like a cut up psychopath.
You want to look him up? I want to see this.
Yeah. Check this dude out. I swear to God. Like look where he started in his career to where he is now. But he built himself up to such a level that WWE said, "We got to get you back in." They signed him to NXT.
Oh, shit. Look at those pecs.
But then look, if you can find a before picture of this guy, like I swear to God, the transformation is incredible. It's like a Transformation Tuesday looking at this.
Transformation Tuesday.
It's wild.
Oh my God.
It is wild. So holy
yeah, that's what he
is,
was?
Yeah, this yeah. is his picture as the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not ripped.
Like he's got muscles, but he's kind of soft and doughy.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. So he's carved himself a nice little niche in WWE, and he's kind of made it.
I would be pretty content to look doughy.
depends where you're starting, but yeah.
That's a good doughy.
So he's built himself back up, and he's found his way back to WWE. And we talk about The Shield and those three guys in their group. He kind of made it his mission to destroy each and every one of those guys, and now Roman is on that hit list.
Nice.
So he's playing like the perfect heel because Roman Reigns, who is kind of middling as a good guy,
babyface.
Now he came back from cancer, and now he has to be the babyface.
Right.
So this is just like a straight up match, not for any titles.
No, it's just it's just kind of like I don't like you, you don't like me. It's nice. Really straightforward. So we can probably predict how it's going to end. But it'll just be kind of a showcase to say that Roman Reigns is back and he's firing on all eight.
How was Roman Reigns received when he first came back? Was it all positive? Oh, I know it's welcome.
I'm sure.
Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
I can't imagine any other. Yeah.
If they don't screw this up, he's going to pretty much be a face for the rest of his career.
Yeah. I mean, just because you know his reputation, because he was I heard like that the WWE was trying to put him over so bad that. Yeah. There was such backlash from the fans, and it just showed.
Not anymore.
They just booed the hell out of him.
Now there's really no excuse for fans to boo him.
That's good. They know him as Joe now, man.
Yeah, Joe NOI. Yeah. So, it would. I don't know how and when they would actually ever pull the trigger on this, but it would be a work of genius if they ever turned him heel. It would really just like send everybody for a loop, but
that would be very.
It'd be
good
very
twist.
WWE.
Yeah, it would. That would be great. I mean, people would. Probably
it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah,
but
it would expect it, but yeah.
But can you ever root against a guy who's freaking beat cancer not once but twice?
Yes,
you would be a jerk.
Yeah, I can root against him.
Yeah, but I mean, like
it's
speaking.
Fine.
Of,
you,
but
it's fine.
But speaking of guys, you think would never root against? How about number three on the list, Daniel freaking Bryan?
Yes. Yes.
Now it's
yes.
No.
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 No. No. Daniel Bryan has gone. He has turned full heel.
Oh.
Full heel. It might be one of the greatest transformations I've ever seen.
This is the blueprint.
Is it great?
It's pretty great. So he's like there's so many layers to the match that he's having at WrestleMania. So Daniel Bryan is facing off against Kofi Kingston, which may well be the best story that WWE has told in years.
What is that? What is that all about? Because I saw the whole Kofi bit on was it on Raw like
this is
a couple
the,
weeks back
this is gonna
where
be the longest
all,
bit
where they were just like all like him and the New Day. They were all just like
on SmackDown.
SmackDown was
that's
it?
Their show,
where
yeah.
he was just like oh you know like I'm done with this. Like they're
okay.
They're
I'll lay it out for you. So they were gonna have like in their last pay per view they're gonna have like six guys fighting against Daniel Bryan for the title. Kofi was not in that equation. One of the guys that was supposed to be in that match pretty much like tore his shoulder out of its socket, just like completely injured himself to the point where he couldn't compete in the match. So they were trying to figure out who to replace him, and they came up on Kofi. Like they did a whole gauntlet match to figure out who was going to be like a gauntlet match where they have one guy face off against like as many people as he can get through.
Yeah.
Kofi was in that match. He was elected to go first, and he beat the first guy. He beats the second guy. He's starting to fade out. Then he beats the third guy, like on a miracle. And then he gets to the fourth guy. And by that point, the crowd is in such a frenzy. Like, they think, holy crap, this guy can totally freaking do it. Yeah. And he doesn't win the gauntlet match, but they decide to put him in the match anyway because the strength of the reaction that he got from the crowd that night. And then they put him in the match. And then he gets even closer to winning the title at that point. And he comes up just short because Daniel Bryan cheats because he's a big piece of shit. And then the fever is at, well, the enthusiasm is at a fevered pitch.
Yeah.
And by the way, Kofi Kingston, black dude, really, and Nuh-uh. His group, his group, yeah, who knew? His group is New predicated Day. On the New Day is predicated on positivity. So these guys are really lovable, and like it just continues to build from there.
New Day Ra.
New Day Ra. And then I feel like a lot of people have been into the story, and I mentioned that this is probably like the best story that WWE has told in a long time. It gets a little weird after a while where like they said, hey, okay, Kofi, if you want to be in the title match, you got to beat this guy. And then he wins the match, and they said, I changed my mind. And it just, it goes like that for like 3-4 weeks at a time.
Yes, it is. Yeah, thank you.
Power of positivity, folks. The positivity of finding this song. So it goes on for like that up until like this last week where they threaten the New Day and Kofi threatened to leave WWE. And then Kofi just says, screw it. What else do I have to do to get into this match? And then they put him in another scenario. And
so he finally got it. He
got his match. And they're playing on racial overtones in this match. They're playing.
Oh my god!
Because you have Vince McMahon, the big greedy white guy, who keeps screwing this guy over and over without really saying why. He just keeps saying like, "Well, you know, this guy deserves it more than you." And then they continue to build that animosity.
So we have a sense we know who's gonna win.
I mean, I don't know. Like maybe they drag it out even longer, but it would be picture perfect if Kofi Kingston, as a guy who's been in WWE for 11 years.
Wow, man.
11 years. And he's been overlooked, and he's been screwed out of opportunities before. But I
started seeing some hashtags, Kofi Mania.
He has a t-shirt. Wow. He has a t-shirt. It says Kofi Mania.
When they start making merch and the hashtag starts it's going
to
happen.
This has the potential to be the feel-good moment of WrestleMania. So I'm anxious to see this kind of play out. I think there are opportunities for them to have told the story better, but if it pays off the way that a lot of fans hope it will, I think it'll be like probably the best moment. It could be the best moment in WrestleMania this year.
All right, two. What's number two?
This is gonna shock some folks. It's the Brock Lesnar,
what,
Seth Rollins match.
Really?
For the Raw for the Universal title. Okay, thumbs. Yeah. So, we've gone over the 30-minute mark that I thought
way
we're
over,
hit.
Man. What are you talking about?
We'll get out before an hour.
This is your two.
We'll get out. Yeah. Oh. No. Well, here's the thing.
God damn.
They've done such a horrible job of booking the biggest title, quote unquote, the biggest title in WWE.
This is for the Universal Championship.
The Universal Championship. The big red belt that everyone hated.
I don't even know what that is.
Exactly. It's a red belt. Okay. That's all it is. And Brock Lesnar, the biggest star allegedly in WWE. Like, they're building to a David and Goliath situation, and you would think everyone would be all in, but it's just been kind of your boilerplate, like, he's greedy, I'm not, like, I'm for the fans, he's not, like, type of story. And the suck part of all of it is that Brock hasn't been there for any of it until this past Monday.
So he hasn't been in the trenches building up the match with this isn't the main event, but this is your number two.
Is number two because it has to be one of the top two matches just given the title that's on the line. But it's mostly because I think the story that they're trying to tell is that fans are ready for a change, and honestly it really does feel like that's where fans really want this thing to go.
So who's the champion? Brock?
Brock Lesnar is the champion. So, and they thought Roman Reigns is going to be the guy to maintain that, or they let him beat Brock last year, and you know they thought that was going to be a clean break, and then Roman gets cancer and kind of throws a wrench into all of it. So Seth Rollins is his Shield brethren,
The Shield.
Yes. He stepped in. He kept the show afloat while Roman was fighting cancer, and he wins the Royal Rumble to earn his shot against Brock Lesnar.
Nice.
It's going to be weird in just in that Brock is a brick shit house, and Seth is smaller than Roman, but there's the feeling that Seth has a better shot of just beating Brock in an upset and carrying the title from here forward.
I don't know. Anytime you see Brock go up against like someone's in a smaller frame than him, like they just have more. I don't know. More willpower, more style,
more skill.
More skill. Like there's just a lot more that like you appreciate some of those matches more than if he just went up against another big man or you know.
Yeah. So they were saying. Seth's argument was that Brock does not do well with his. With wrestlers style. Of his build, his style, precisely. Yeah. So he went up against AJ Styles a couple years ago at Survivor Series.
A great match.
But Brock won there. Mm-hmm. And then last year, Daniel Bryan went up against Brock Lesnar. Another, like 4 or 5 star match. And Brock still comes out on top. But you kind of see, like, the merits to the argument that styles make fights, and these guys who have the physical athleticism and the wrestling know-how give Brock problems. So Seth is actually younger than both of those guys and probably infinitely more athletic than either of them. So it's probably just going to be the best match on the card, bar none. Regardless of how they built the match up, it's going to be fun to watch that thing play out.
Yeah.
Fans are probably hoping that Brock goes down for good and he can
go back to the UFC.
He can take that August fight against Daniel Cormier, which was rumored today.
Sweet.
Yeah, I kind of need to see that fight too. But it'd be fun if Daniel Cormier shows up and costs Brock the match.
That's what I hear.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That's one of the rumors.
Yes. No.
We can get into some of the rumors after. But.
Okay, forget the rumors. But
what's number one?
Number one has to be the main event, obviously, for WrestleMania, which WWE announced weeks ago. It's going to be the Raw Women's Championship match. It was going to be the Raw Women's Championship. Now they arbitrarily threw the SmackDown title into the mix by letting Charlotte beat Asuka the other week. So it's going to be winner take all. So all the women's titles are on the line, SmackDown and Raw.
All of them.
Yes. So the SmackDown Women's Champion is Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter. Yeah, do that math. And Ronda Rousey, the Raw Women's Champion, facing off in a triple threat match against Becky Lynch. Oh, God. This song will be played by Joan Jett on Sunday, by the way.
It's going to be a live performance.
Can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's a triple threat match. WWE went so far to make this match bigger than it should have been.
Dude, she's headlining, right?
They're headlining.
This is the main event.
But if you're... So
the first one of its kind.
Yeah, there you go. So the background for this match is that Becky Lynch, who doesn't have a title in this match, but she's pretty much built herself up to be the new Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, she's a badass, like, nobody, she doesn't respect anybody, and she did it...
Fuck yeah.
And she's Scottish and cute. Who knew? Or Irish, I'm sorry. Irish and cute.
She's cute.
Yeah, but she's got the deepest voice in America. A
lot of whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. Proper number 12. she's so big that she ended up on Ariel Helwani's MMA show.
Wow.
Yeah, and they did like a 30-minute interview with her. So she's in the match on her name value alone. So she was supposed to face off against Rousey in November at the Survivor Series.
I remember that.
And then she
got injured, right?
She got legit punched in the face and broke her nose, and they had to pull her the Tuesday before the show on Sunday. So this match was kind of hanging in the air for months on end, and now they found an opportunity to get her and Rousey one-on-one. Which in and of itself could have been the main event.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have Rousey, who has the name recognition. You have Lynch, who is pretty much untouchable right now.
Yeah.
But they felt the need to try to make it bigger than they needed it to. So they take Charlotte Flair and inject her into the equation, and they give her a title.
They really didn't need to.
They didn't have to. Like, they didn't have to raise the stakes at all, because those two could have carried this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They were just worried that they couldn't carry it.
No, they could have.
I mean, the brass. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Vince McMahon is just worried it would not.
He wanted to hedge his bets.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, from a business standpoint, I get wanting to make sure that it's not. Well, I think here's the other factor in all this. I think they odds are that Becky comes out of this as the winner, but they don't want Ronda to look like she's weak by losing the match. So they need somebody else in the equation to take the fall. So Charlotte's probably going to be that person, and she's so good in the ring that she can take a loss and it won't really affect her going forward.
Has Ronda's ability been okay in the ring? I'm not sure. I have not heard.
She's actually been really good as a wrestler in the ring. There are other things you can take issue with when it comes to her character and how she's been portrayed in WWE, but as far as her work in the ring, I think there's really not a lot of room for criticism.
Okay.
Which is something you really wouldn't expect for someone who just started. She literally started wrestling in WWE a year ago at WrestleMania 34.
That's right.
So she's really found her way pretty quickly. So she went from being in a tag match last year to main eventing the goddamn thing. So
she's been carrying the whole WWE for a while, man.
I mean, I guess. I mean, she's been there more so than Brock. So you gotta give her credit for that. And she shows up at house shows. So it like the shows that happen at Eagle Bank Arena, she's there doing that work.
And,
so
and you can tell she really enjoys being there. I mean, hell yeah. I mean, she can't stop freaking smiling and that's dropping good. Kayfabe, you know?
It's just getting weird, and the act is probably getting a little tired.
Didn't they have a Twitter beef?
It's all Twitter beef.
It's all Twitter beef. Yeah.
Ronda with too many words. Like she's trying really hard.
It's annoying. Like I read some of those things and
it's
long-winded. I don't know. I don't know if she's coming up with this on her own.
She's
or
still not very good talking on the microphone.
Not quite.
There's something wanting there, but be that as it may, I think there was a lull where people were really down on the match, but the second they announced that it was going to be the main event for WrestleMania, I think the energy levels kind of picked up a little bit. So, I'm excited to see how it plays out. I kind of just want it to end. Like I just need a conclusion on this stupid story so Ronda can go off and have babies, and then Becky and Charlotte can figure their shit out. And not to mention the Japanese woman that got boned in all of this.
Asuka.
Right?
So
she was the champion until last Tuesday.
What?
Yeah.
What happened last Tuesday?
She was the SmackDown champion until last Tuesday, and then they decided to book a SmackDown Women's Championship match with no promotion and no hype whatsoever. No
and
marketing.
Just like that, she lost it?
She lost on regular-ass TV.
Oh, that's horrible.
She lost on cable TV.
That's the worst.
Yeah. So, I mean, they really did a disservice to her because she's a really good wrestler. She just can't speak English very well, but she's a really good wrestler.
I'm assuming she'll be in that women's Royale, right?
I mean, I hope so. And then I hope she just murders 27 other women with her bare hands because she probably could.
Maybe they'll give that to her. They're like, okay, my bad. Here you go.
Yeah, here's blood on your hands. enjoy. I hope your bloodlust makes up for the fact that you lost on cable TV. So, all that is to say, I'm back in on this main event. I'm ready to see this whole thing come to fruition, but it should be a good show. It should be a good match. You got enough good guys.
We got a couple minutes left before we have to wrap up. So I got a couple quick questions.
Quick
for you.
Hitters, if you will. Wow, we went the whole hour. I'm so sorry.
I told you we were.
kill me. I'm sorry, everyone.
So there's a couple things that I feel like we skipped by, so I just want to bring those up really quickly.
Quick hitters.
Get your take on those.
And go.
Batista, Triple H. Like,
wow, I totally drove by that one.
How is that not in your top five?
I don't.
That was like one of the most heavily promoted match.
Especially a few days ago with the Batista.
The promo?
Yeah, the promo. Yeah,
The four-word promo?
Hunter kissed my ass. That's great.
Okay, so Did I skip a number in the top five?
No.
Okay, never mind.
That was all five.
Okay, I would say that's six if we're talking top five.
You still don't feel like that lives up any higher than any of the top five you need?
No, because this should actually be a retirement match for Dave Bautista, Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah.
But they've not sold it that way. The only stakes in the match is that Triple H will have to leave. He'll have to stop wrestling if he loses this match.
Right.
But everyone knows Batista.
He's going to go back to movies.
Exactly. He's got a career beyond this, but he's long wanted a retirement angle, and he wanted it to be against Triple H. So he picked a spot, and the way that he got into the match was phenomenal.
Nice.
Where he murdered a 70-year-old man celebrating his birthday on Monday Night Raw.
Excellent.
I remember
that. Why wasn't this in your top five?
I know, right?
I wish. I legit. I can't do it. Okay. I gotta be objective. So he killed that old man, Charlotte Flair's dad, and he drags him out by his collar, and he screams, "Do I have your attention now, Hunter?" And he's got like blue sunglasses and a nose ring, and
he just looks like Johnny Cage straight from the movies.
It set the internet on fire. Oh my god, it was so great. But then, like, after that point, it got kind of weird. Like dueling promos, and then when they were actually in the building at the same time, it was just Dave Batista screaming, "Give me what I want."
That was
give me what I want.
That was the most awkward ass promo ever.
So much spit, like just so angry and nonsensical. Like I could have.
It wasn't even like believable.
It was so awful
for an actor.
Yeah,
you know. It was bad. It was so bad.
I think that's why I was down on it, because like it got weird in the middle, and then like they pulled me back in this week where Batista shows up and he's in DC in his hometown.
Yeah.
And he plays up all the angles, and then instead of going into this long-winded promo about how it's going to be his last match, yada yada yada, he says, "Hunter, kiss my ass," and he drops the mic and he just walks the hell
mic
out.
Mic drop.
That's it. I'm back in.
It's firmly at six now.
That's all he needs.
It's firmly at number six. So right. I'm in. Yeah.
So my next question is: so I was taking a look at some of the rosters for the some of the names that's participating in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
The AGBT.
Yeah. What the fuck is
the AGTBR? Sorry.
What the fuck is Michael Che and Colin Jost doing in that shit?
I don't know.
Is this for real?
They are.
Why?
It is. Yes. I wish I could explain it better.
What?
It's actually.
Yes.
That just had to sit for a second. I'm like, what?
I was like, why?
So you know Michael Che is a wrestling fan, right?
Apparently.
He's a huge wrestling mark.
Huge?
Huge. Like
huge.
Huge. He watches like Japanese wrestling. Like he goes to Raw every time it's in New York.
No way.
So he's a mark. But then WWE wanted to do their piece or do their bit where they get celebrities involved.
They're in New York, I guess, right?
But the funny thing is, I kind of feel like Colin Jost has been like a hero in all this. Like he's done the greatest job getting himself hated by the WWE universe.
Really?
I'm trying to think. I think they were in Boston, and then they're backstage and they're like it's him and Stephanie McMahon and Michael Che talking yada yada yada, and then he's like, I know we're in Boston, but you know, I'm gonna put on the baseball cap for a real team, and he puts on a Mets cap. it's just the best troll job.
That's funny.
I didn't do it justice, but then like later on in that whole segment, all of a sudden he starts disrespecting wrestlers backstage, and he gets lifted up by his throat by a 500-pound monster.
Yeah.
And then it goes on where like he feels like he's offended that monster, so the following week he buys that guy a car.
Oh my god!
Yeah, he's like no hard feelings. Here's a car. You know, I felt like you were probably too aggressive last week, but here's a peace offering. And then that dude proceeds to rip the car apart like with his bare hands. Yes. So, and then the following week he's like. You know that was a peace offering, so I think you need to pay my insurance deductible. Like he just continues to troll. Like it's smart, and then like it just escalates to the point where the only way they're gonna get resolution is if they put the two guys in the battle royale. So
nice.
It's a good troll job, and hopefully it's a good payoff. But it's like seeing Pete Rose get tombstone by Kane. Like I hope it's that type
of
moment.
Pete Rose.
Exactly. Yes. I'm hoping for one of those moments.
Pete.
There's your WrestleMania moment right there.
Yeah.
God.
All right. Last one.
Last one.
Here we go.
Here it is.
You know.
Hard stop.
Come on.
Hard stop.
For this last question, I really have to ask. Where is this guy? He's been in every single WrestleMania for a good chunk of the last many, 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 many years. I know it was like his time is up and he had his like moments.
His time is up. Our time is now.
Yes. But if this is set up to be one of the biggest WrestleManias, it's in New York.
It always is.
I mean, yes, it always is. But this is like, you know, the matches aren't always that interesting, but just to hear his music, to see him walk down and the whole entrance, like that alone is like great. So it's like, why isn't he part of this?
Bro, it's a 7-hour show. That walk up the aisle is 27 minutes by itself. They don't have any time to spare. And I don't know if you've seen the last couple WrestleManias.
Oh, it's longer and longer.
The entrances are long, and his performance in the ring is not what it's what you remember it to be.
I know. Trust me, I know. But something
I've
just
seen the
feel
saddest.
Right.
I've seen the saddest Undertaker performances. The only two times I've gone to WrestleMania, they both sucked. It was awful.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like the old school days of the classic Undertaker. But
no.
But
last year. He beat John Cena.
Well, speaking of Cena, where the hell is Cena too?
The rumor is that he's booked for a match. Like, it'll probably be match number 17 on the
17?
Damn card.
17? Like, we need another match?
Wait, we don't know the actual list of matches?
The 16 confirmed right now, but I think Cena is booked and it'll be kind of like a quick squash match.
Shit.
It'll be 5 minutes and we'll be a rinse, wash, repeat. We're back into the regular card.
To have a WrestleMania without John Cena or Undertaker is weird, man.
Cena will be there. Taker may be a wild card where he kind of shows up and does a quick little bit.
Just to hear the music, right?
What if they faced each other?
They did last year.
Again?
Again? Jackass. Oh, sorry. I don't know.
All of the goodwill you engendered gone in the last 30 seconds of this stupid show.
My bad.
All right. Well, does that answer your question?
Let's end on that.
Go out on a high note.
I think we might have to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the odds are we'll see Cena and we 50-50 we see The Undertaker in all of this. But
50-50.
If he doesn't show up, I'll be perfectly fine because by that point I'll be knocked the hell out. All right, well, there's the WrestleMania preview that was supposed to be 30 minutes, and it ended up being twice as long.
Of course. I told you. There's no way we're going to get through that.
Yes.
I tried.
Isn't he no now?
Oh, no.
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 No. No to this show.
No.
don't ever listen to another wrestling show that we do. It's pointless.
it was fun.
So sorry.
It was good.
I'm glad you guys had fun. I appreciate you guys indulging me. I just felt like we needed to get it out. Like
it was too big of an event to just skip.
Yeah, it's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I will not do a SummerSlam show. Let me make perfectly clear. Or a Money in the Bank show.
Gio, come back for that one.
Yeah.
Please?
It'll be an ancillary show. All right. Well, on behalf of the boys, let me say thank you to the boys first, but on behalf of the boys, we'll see you guys next week in a non-wrestling related capacity.
If you're listening, tune in to next week. We're going to do a crazy, crazy, crazy.
Can I say it'll be as equally nerdy, but on a completely different topic?
But way, way better.
Oh, yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, the big sell.
Come on.
All right.
See you guys next week.
Later.
Bye.
Jinx.